We're into it. So welcome everyone to, we're into October already, and Sherry's just about, was just sharing with us, and I just turned on the recorder. So Sherry, tell us your success story.
Okay, well, yesterday I started my first group coaching. Mm-hmm. It's an eight-week course, so there's an hour and a half session every week. I have a 12 noon Brisbane and a 7 p.m., depending on whichever suits them. So I basically had six in the day class and six in the night class. So I had 12 that registered and paid. And yeah, so I'm taking them through 8 weeks, taking them through all the steps. They follow along in my course that I have. And yeah, and so it's awesome. Really going to save my voice, because for some reason in winter, I didn't get any sickness other than my voice just struggles to talk now. Mm-hmm. And so when I'd have one-on-ones, which I've done for 4 years, by the end of the day, I wouldn't have a voice, or even at the beginning of the day. Yeah. So this way I can speak once and 12 people are hearing. It's so good.
Sherry, do you mind me asking how much you charged for that? Because I often wonder about pricing. You know, do you charge it low because you know you're going to get a load, or do you charge it high because you're going to get a load and you get loads more money? Like, how do you price it, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, well, my one-on-one was actually $497, which was a bit low on the low end. That was one-on-one. They got eight sessions with me, whatever, for 8 weeks. And so then I thought, well, if I can keep that same price but do it to a lot of people, then it's improving me, but it still gets people in. I also have a special price for under 25s. I give them, for this last one, it was $300 for under 25s, just because I'm passionate to get them into a great system.
So what did you do? So you set up an event for a spending plan. So you're going to take them through the stages of setting up their own spending plan. So they've signed up and paid. How much did you say they've all paid?
Well, there's $497 was the price. I had some at $297, and I had a couple that were like $97 or $197, like clients, if they want a refresher, because they've already gone through my full 6 month course. So if they just want to come and do a refresher, it gets them in the group. They're a great testimonial to all the other ones who are starting out their plan. And, you know, it just, and then as long as after the 8 months or 8 weeks, as long as they book a one-on-one session with me every month, they continue to get free access to my online course. Otherwise, they will pay $30 a month just for that. They don't need the training videos. Of course, I have a lot more training videos. I use David's, plus I have a lot more. I'm kind of doing it so that it gets them to where once a month, I just have a one-on-one with them to help them until they feel totally confident.
So you've already had a couple of $1,000 at least for those.
And Oh, yeah. Just coming in this. And I want to start that every month. So every month I'll start a new group.
Love it.
It's a lot of work. And granted, I do have my online course. If I didn't have my online course, I wouldn't be able to do that.
I have my DIY stuff that is just there. And I keep planning an event just they pay for my DIY, which is $247, because I literally don't do anything. I've got people, the guy that I put on Facebook that paid off $140,000 of debt, never met me, he never had help, everything. And I've done my own things with that as well. So I think I might do an event for that, and say, get 10 people in my head, I got 10 people, $247, and they just get it, and I'll do the first bits for them, and then they go off and do it themselves. It's all in the emails that they're going to get anyway. They just get a head start by having an event and getting it paid for, and then
That's right. And so because everything's in my course as a DIY, but some people can't do that. They need, people are speed readers, I'm one of them, where you miss the details. And so by having that session every week, they come with their questions and their answers, and they can share their wins And in a group session, it's a great way to inspire them and to get them to talk about money. There's no shame in it. There's no embarrassment.
Absolutely. Oh, that's my number one thing. My number one fact in my facts around money. There's no shame in asking for help.
Exactly.
And I think if there's a group of them and they all realize that they think the same, they don't feel as bad. Whereas sometimes they're like just they're on their own with their head in the hands going, they think they're the only one. I can't believe how many clients say to me, oh, you haven't seen anything yet. I'd be your worst client ever. And I go, try me. Absolutely try me. Because I've seen it all and heard it all. It's great.
Lovely, lovely sharing. I had this burning question that I wanted to throw in there, but I had to wait so long to get it in. I've lost it. So hi Kim, how are you? It'll come back.
I'm good, thank you, David. It'll come back.
Oh, I know what it was. Some people just do not want to divulge their personal information, and a DIY gives them the ability to put their toe in the water and get started on the journey without having any fear of somebody else finding out how bad they are, you know, even though we've seen it all plus more. So that's clearly working. So there's obviously subtle differences between Sam, what you're doing with the DIY, and Sherry, what you're doing, because you're wanting to engage with people every month, whereas Sam, you're not working on that theory. So.
If they want to engage with me, they do the 6 month support and guidance.
Yep.
And I do offer them, if they start off on the DIY and they realize they need the support and guidance, then they pay the difference and then they start the support and guidance.
Yep. Well, that there's going to be some in this 8 week group that aren't going to do what they need to do. And so they're going to have to pay. I'll say, okay, well, if you couldn't do it in a group setting, then you're going to have to pay the higher price for a one-on-one with me. Yep. But I'm really, And that means I don't have to have as many one-on-ones just because, it is a lot of talking.
Sherry.
Yeah.
Sherry, you mentioned about having people who had done the course coming back and sort of what a number of, in fact, just about every person who runs events successfully does is that they'll take graduates from one course and invite some of them to come back to the next time to be helpers. Now, in where you've got physical, a room full of people, that's great because they sit at the table up the back and in the breaks they go and mingle and mix and talk with everybody. Now we're in this virtual world, it's a little bit different, but you just create breakout rooms. If you've got people where you're saying, okay, this is the learning for this week, and I want you to open up on your computer and have a go at that, you could actually assign some of the people from a previous group to be in a Zoom room with a couple of people and screen sharing backwards and forwards and making, because there's no better way to learn than to teach. So if you give some of these people that have graduated or are getting some skill, good skill levels, you can utilize them to help teach more people, help them to learn, help them to feel important and valued, and everybody wins. And your voice doesn't have to do so much work either.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. And I've just written that down for next week because the first week there was out of the 90 minutes, 45 minutes was just kind of there was a lot of technical and things like that. Where next time I'm having them actually do things in that 90 minutes because they may not have had done their homework tasks or done the things that they'll get time to do that.
Never.
Yeah. Shock. And so, and they also get just 2 30-minute sessions with me in the 8 weeks. That's at set times, but that's only if they can show me they've done all their homework up until then. I'm not even going to meet with them one-on-one unless I know that they did their part. Because
you're a strict taskmaster.
With this, I can be because I'm doing it as a group. I don't have time to spend one-on-one time with them. They have to do it. Where when you're doing one-on-one, they kind of expect you to do that.
Can I give you another tip as well? Because when I first started doing cash flow clinics, or what I used to call them, every person that came along, I would hire a computer room at a school in Sydney or Melbourne, and then everybody would come and we'd use the computers in that computer lab at the school for the day. And I had every person working on their own budget, that's what I used to call them back then. And I nearly went mad trying to run around the room answering everybody's questions about their specific this and their specific that and what have you. And then I had an opportunity, I was invited to go to Christchurch to run a workshop, and we were going to use the computers in the library in Christchurch, but we could only have access between, I think it was 10 and 4. And I was used to doing them between 8 and 5. And I'm going, there's 3 hours that I won't have that I normally have. How do I possibly do this? And in the end, I thought, you know what? We're all just going to do a John and Mary Citizen. We'll all do exactly the same plan. And once they've learnt the concept, they can go home and do their own. And that was a breakthrough moment for me, because I no longer had to be running around the room answering everybody's specific questions about their specific problem. So I'm not sure whether you've got them doing their own or whether you've got them doing all the same thing, but that was an aha moment for me when I was, and it was only because I was forced into it. Otherwise, I would have just kept doing it and running around in circles and having nervous breakdowns. And that broke the camel's back. Yeah.
That's a good point, because a lot, even just yesterday, so people were saying, but my bank structure is that, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, I'm teaching the ideal. This is how I teach it. You know, that's where you bring it up in that one-on-one if you want some thoughts on your you know, more complicated bank structure. Yep. But I tell them, I'm here to simplify. And in fact, exactly. one of my students is a Simply Budgets original.
There you go. Kim Donnelly, you're very quiet. What have you got happening up there in North Queensland, Central North Queensland?
I'm actually starting, I'm following Sherry, I guess. I'm getting stuff ready for online. I haven't done online before, so I'm working at getting stuff together for that. That's what I've been chipping away at. So,
all right. Cool. And Tricia, you're quietly hiding down there too. So we're going to talk about testimonials today. And Sam, it was your testimonial on Facebook that made me think this would be a good topic to actually do some sharing about some of our clients and their success stories, because you've got to keep your belief level up in what you do. Otherwise, it's too easy to go, oh, it's all too hard. But when you just keep thinking, and especially when you hear other people's client success stories, it spurs you on to go, you know what, I love those goosebumps.
Which testimonial was it? The one of
the DIY guy. Just
never met him, don't know him, don't know anything about him. I know he works in the mines in Perth. That's it.
Was he the one that said about the mental health with it?
Yes.
Yeah, so very true. That's what I get with my other clients.
Yeah,
the mental health of it is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm building up to that with my I don't know what to say too much about my celebrity client Mark Aston, who's pretty well known in South Australia, and he wants to interview my minor about mental health and about how the money situation frees up other stuff in your head and blah blah blah. But Matt, the minor, is not interested. He will not be interviewed. He won't write a review. He said, I'll write it in a text, but I won't write it in a review, Google review, Facebook review. He says it's private and that's it. I'm not doing it.
What about a fuzzy face or, you know?
I asked Mark Aston about that and he said, that looks so dodgy. Never, ever do a testimonial with a fuzzy face. people won't believe it.
The one I was thinking of, Sam, was the one that was in the, might not have been yours. He was in a park. So he did a video testimonial.
That might be Mark Aston.
Right.
Was he with his dog?
Yes.
That's Mark Aston, celebrity client.
Is that on your website, Sam?
Yeah. He signed up with me to do a video of him in a park, which is when he's in his own headspace, a week, and a video with me talking him through the spending plan or suggestions. We've got all time and we're doing it for 6 months. So that's what we're doing. So if you've seen and because Mark Aston was on channel, my thing's gone funny.
I've just pulled up your website, Sam. Is it on here? Is it on your site?
Sorry, no.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mark Aston was on Channel 10 and he was the sports reporter or something. It's pretty well known in South Australia. And he apparently disappeared off Channel 10 literally overnight because he was addicted to drugs, alcohol, cocaine. He lost his marriage, he lost his kids, he lost his home. And then he did a video, he's very open about his addictions and his mental health. And he did a video saying, if you're watching this, I've checked myself into rehab, which he did. And now he's out of rehab. And now he's talking about his sort of building back up to, I don't think he'll ever get to where he was because he's been there, done that. But all he wants to do now is save and look after his dog and live a better future. So, but he's got a lot of things, he's got a lot of ideas. And the beauty of working with him, with me, is A, is so professional. Like when we talk and stuff, like he goes, I'll lead the question, I'll say this, and then you say this, and da-da. And if you say this, it won't date, and rah, rah, rah. And he's just so like informative around media and around presenting yourself and what to say, what not to say, and how our videos that we're doing, we're trying not to date. So we don't say anything like so we can rehash them next year and the year after and blah, blah, blah. But he's awesome. So yeah, if you've seen a video of him in a park, he's doing where his headspace is at. But he's also got a radio show. And he's going to have me come in on his radio show and be a guest. And people are going to ring in and ask questions about them. Oh, oh bloody wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, he's got so much planned for my business. It's crazy. So it's good. It's good. Awesome. But if everything comes off what we've talked about, watch this space. It's going to be mad.
You'll be the spotty. No, the what is it? The spotty.
I'm never the spotty, David. You know that. You just keep giving it to everybody else.
I just roll the dice and see which number comes up every year.
Oh, there's a dodgy one in there because mine never comes up.
Oh. What does it say? All right, so testimonials. Your story inspired me to say this month we should talk about testimonials, and I'm very happy that we've been chatting about what we've been chatting about because I'm sure we've all gotten ideas and learning from that. Kim, you've got some great testimonials. In fact, if I go back to my screen share that I was just doing a moment ago, I just happen to have your website there as well. And actually, so there's three things that I really wanted to look at with testimonials. One of them was just to brag a little bit about some of your customer stories, but to talk about the ways that we get testimonials and the ways that we can use testimonials. So bragging about them, how you get them and how you use them. So Kim, you've done sort of the videos there, but then you've also got some written ones. And I like what you've done with putting the headline where you've pulled something out of the text that they've given you and made that the headline. I've also got Anthea's here, and she's done a very good job of that as well. She does the same thing where she uses a line out of the text from the testimonial and made it a headline. So you can sort of pick out the bit that will attract people the most and make that stand off the page, but then you put the whole testimonial in there as well. And where she's got videos, that just becomes a little, what do you call that? Thumbnail. I was looking at Carolyn's as well. She's got a baby. That's probably her baby. Wouldn't be surprised. Probably her grandson. So, yeah, she's done a similar thing. This lady's a genius. And then some shorter ones. So, to me, that's a really good way of doing it. This is what Marlene's got. Actually, she hasn't pulled headlines yet, which I think would be a good idea. But everybody that's got a website that's worth its salt has got success stories of people. It's social proof that will get someone across the line when they're really not sure. You know, what are other people got to say about this? How often when you've gone to buy something have you jumped on forums and looked to see what other people have said about a particular product or a particular person and their reputation to see if you can find any dirt on them? So how have you gone about getting, and I know, Sam, you did a great production with Paula. Sherry, what's your website, Sherry? Essential. You're muted, Sherry.
She's on mute.
Essential Spending Planner, there I am.
Oh, you were, I should have, yeah. Website. So you've got a testimonials page, some lovely animation there.
I could bring out those main things as well.
Yeah, it probably seems to me like a really good idea, because if someone's just sort of not, okay, I'm really going to read all of these, you want something to jump off the page at them that really draws them in, because you've got lots of them. And I like the fact that you've got a photo. That always helps, because they're real people.
And I kind of put a little tagline under their name, like one is parents of five children, so, or, you know, new parents, so that it kind of, you know,
yep.
If someone's
yep.
in that age group, then they're going to tend to read that one.
Yep. But it wouldn't even be a bad idea to put them that at the top.
Yeah, that's true.
Bold and, yeah. So how did you go about getting all of those?
I ask them usually within the first month before we even finish their plan, because that's when they're just so excited. And then I ask them again once their plan is done. And then I regularly message them and say, how are you going? Tell me your wins. They tell me their wins. And then I'm just lacking time at the moment, but I have all their wins, all anything they say in any communication I have from them, I will extract that, and I will use that in the testimonial. I have quite a few of them who are waiting to be, we're going to do an interview, like, type stuff.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just.
So let's talk about timing, because you said in the first month, what just amongst the four of you that are here now, has there anybody got an opinion on when's the best time, or a good time, or the worst time, or, you know, to be asking for a testimonial? What's your experience been?
Personally, I think it depends on the client, because it's when you see the penny drop or the results, or while they're going, you know, I've sat with clients where the first couple of meetings they've gone, this isn't going to work, it's shit, I don't know why I'm sat here, blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't ask then, but in 3 months' time, when they're going, this is bloody genius, that's when you go, right. So at what point, that point when the penny drops and they go, oh my God, like, So I just treat each client, and I think the whole budgeting or whatever, spending planner journey, which is the word I hate, is absolutely a personal one. But at some point, no matter how shit the finances are, the good, successful clients that we can see here, they all go, oh my God, this is genius.
Personally,
that's what I do.
Yeah. So if you'd asked me, I would have said it's when the penny drops and everything falls into place within a short period of time from that moment, because then, after a little while, and you think about little kids, when they're little, you push them on the swing and you don't have to push them very high and it's scary and it's all exciting. But then as they get a little bit used to that, then they start saying, push me higher. And then they get used to that and you've got to push them higher still. And it's the same with big people. You know, they'll be so excited when they actually got to pay $10 without using a credit card. But in a month's time, that's become mundane, and it's like, so the sooner you get them when they're really excited about the whole process, the better, because in a year's time, this will be just quite normal to them, and they may not be anywhere near as excited and come across that way in a testimonial.
And can I say that on my Facebook, because I have them do it on my Facebook when it's the right time in the early part, and then I will have them go back and add into the comments of their testimonial, add in later on, because I want my people to come on to see that it's not just they're excited, it's the first month. I want them to see that after time, you know, I now have had my spending plan for 2 years and it's still working. They want to see longevity of it, not just that initial, until the honeymoon's over.
I recently got told that it's not just like your Facebook reviews, it's Google reviews as well. And I had a few issues with Google recently and I finally got control back of my Google, my business account. And I purposely wrote to all of my clients who I know are successful, who I know are loving it, and asked them to do Google reviews. And if you read a few of my Google reviews now, they go, I've been working with Sam for years and da, 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 da. And it's like, I like it because it's historic and it shows that, you know, it wasn't a one hit, you know, a quick fix or whatever. It's a long-term thing.
Awesome. Kim, so you've got a couple of really good ones. This couple here, the fly in, fly out guy, that I've watched that a few times. I almost feel like I've spoken with those guys maybe because I've listened to that a few times.
You did. That was one of our webinars.
Okay.
You're in there. You're in that video.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I feel like that because it's true.
Didn't you just say you've watched it a few times and you don't know you're in it?
Well,
you might have just watched the start.
Come on, Sammy. I'm getting old. I'm 10 years older than you. I've got senile coming on, you know.
You probably thought it was the screen, didn't you, Grandad?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being cheeky.
No, you're allowed to be as cheeky because I'm Mr. Cheeky. That's sometimes I say things with my tongue in my cheek and then people don't know that my tongue's in my cheek and I get into trouble. So, yes. So, Tricia, have you got any testimonial talk on ideas or?
No testimonials. I'm currently just doing up a PowerPoint. I did a client sign up the other night and I fluffed through it, something shocking. So
you have to do that.
Yeah, I know.
You have to do that.
I thought if I had a PowerPoint to sort of feed it through in sequence, so I'm putting that together at the moment. So, yeah.
That just becomes a crutch though, doesn't it? I mean, me too. I'm 100% there. But you know you've arrived when you can walk into someone's house, sit down, grab an envelope and start scribbling on the back of the envelope and it all makes sense.
Mm. Sorry, I missed that, Tricia. What did you stuff up on your sign up?
No, I was just talking about the program and I had a test one ready to go in the client section. But I had it too messy. I had too many red spots. I was trying to show how to fix it. So I've just pulled it right back to only having one or two red spots. So I put, you know, a bulky bill in the beginning of it where I can make it a monthly one. So I've just simplified it so that they're not overwhelmed because I was fluffing about how to fix it and I was getting too involved.
Yeah. You definitely do need to know your data when you go to do a software demonstration, because if you just type in any old thing and you go, oh, here we go, I'm going to fix this, and you don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work, you can look a little bit silly.
Yeah, it was just one of the training ones that we had when I signed up, but it, you know, obviously was a bit messy and I didn't spend enough time in there beforehand. So now I've gone back, paired it back, taken screenshots so you can sort of show the progress without really getting into it. Yeah.
Well, one of the things, though, you know, sometimes perfection isn't always the best thing.
Oh, don't go there. That's my problem.
Because you'll find that people sometimes actually go, oh, she's real. She makes mistakes. In fact, if you walked into a piano, like a store where they sell pianos and a salesperson comes and demonstrates the piano, they will always make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So that you feel like, oh, I could play this piano because I make mistakes. Or any musical instrument, anything at all. So this was with real potential clients?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a real
client. And how did it go?
Oh, no, it was good. It's good. I've sent him all the terms and conditions and all that sort of stuff. So I'm expecting that to be signed off in the next, what's he got? He's got another 4 days. I've already got the bank statements because he's a broker client. So I've got his bank statements to send to him already to support that so he can start drawing on his expenses. Basically.
Okay. I'm really pleased to hear that because it seems to me that any mortgage broker who's got mortgage clients, they should be spending planner clients too. I just don't know how you can not get the two crossing over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you there. And this guy's not even in financial trouble. He's got plenty of money. You know, it's not an issue with that, but he wants to be, he's just purchased his first house. He's 27, you know, wants to be ahead of it, which is really good.
Well, when I first started out, I was very surprised when I recognised that in amongst my customers, there was a group who I thought, why are you my customer? Because you're doing so well. But it dawned on me that the people who are doing well, sometimes they are so, they want to absolutely do that. Like, if I'm doing well, that's not good enough. Mm. I want to be perfect.
It's like getting tutors for your children when they're, you know, just under an A or an A plus, you know. It's the same thing. It's just getting a little bit better. Yeah.
Yep. So in my advertising messages, I started thinking about the fact that I need to talk to people who are doing okay and not just always talk about people who are in the pits of, you know, suicidal tendencies. Because, yes, that's one niche, but another is people who are doing pretty good but want to do better.
Mm.
So, yeah. Just generally then, so is this the first mortgage client that you've...
Yeah.
All right, so we're just on the precipice of getting started in that direction.
I am, but I'm also changing my mortgage broking business and my I'm going out on my own. So I was a Liberty advisor. So I've been working under somebody's brand. So in July, I decided to move. So...
Mm-hmm.
No, August, I decided to move. So it's been a big 6 weeks, 8 weeks of just trying to move at the moment. So yeah.
Do Liberty specialise in people who have got debt problems? And would you call them a second tier lender or?
Fourth.
No? Oh. Okay.
But right, they're not the only one. There's plenty more where I'm going because I need an aggregator. They're the people in between me and the banks, they've got many more access to a lot of different lenders that work in that same space. There's a lot of clients that I had with Liberty. I couldn't put them with Liberty. I had to send them to somebody else.
So I'm going to have to connect you. I've got a new spending planner who's ready to do assessment now because spending plan of training has all changed because I can't do roomfuls of people or I haven't been able to. And I really wasn't interested in attracting roomfuls of people for a while until I got things organised better. But I've got a lady who was actually a BDM for Society One Bank in Queensland. She's a state BDM. And she's been a mortgage broker and now she's kind of gone to the next level up. So, and what she doesn't know about all of the, and you probably know it all too, but she just talks about it all the time, about how people get them their credit score totally down the gurgler by just doing silly things that they don't even realise are messing up their credit score.
Mm-hmm.
So in a future monthly webinar, we will have a conversation about this, the topic of credit scores. And
don't put us in the same room. We won't shut up. Credit scores, I can show you some horrendous credit scores, credit, you know, files, which is a great, and it is a podcast that I'm wanting to put out. So, one day.
Well, I'm very tempted to go down that little funnel right now, but I'll resist and stick on the topic of testimonials. But, all right, so that's really good. You're morphing and moving.
I'm morphing.
So, cool. Mm-hmm. So the best time to get testimonials is not a particular time frame. It's when the penny drops and the client gets excited. What about the format of getting someone on a video is obviously what you want best of all, but like Sam was saying, that guy, there's no way he's going to put his face on a screen and tell people that he stuffed his finances up.
He stuffed them up, though. I just don't think he didn't stuff them up. That's my whole point. That's my whole selling point of the DIY. You don't have to have stuffed it up. You just want a better way of doing it. Put your Excel spreadsheet in the spending plan and, you know, it's like even better. So I don't think he's stuffed up. I just don't think he wants it out there that he's is using it.
Yeah. Fair enough. And well, there may be some stigma attached to that that he knows about that you don't. But Sherry, was that a hand up or was that a...
Yeah. I think when I'm actually doing my one-on-ones with my clients, and if they are starting to tell... Because I always ask them, you know, tell me some benefits that you saw in the last week or whatever, since I record, I say, oh, do you mind if I record? And I just turn the record on and record it. If I don't actually use that footage, I honor it with my phone. It's kind of like, you know, when you're a parent, you look for those teaching moments. You look for those testimony moments. You look for anything that they say that you can grab and use as a testimony. So, because if it's formal, a lot of mine I've gotten without being, you know, I mean, there's the formal way of testimonies, but there's just those little things where there's one-liners, which you can even just put.
Because when you make it formal, people will choke. It's like, oh, I'm under pressure and what will I say? Whereas if you just say, oh, I'm going to put the recorder on. Hey, tell me, you know, and it's natural, it's relaxed, there's nowhere near as much what should I say and how should I say it?
Zoom cameras are very considerate, you know, where if it was a real professional camera you would have to do all the, you know. so we can put on a filter if you want, you know.
All right, so that's getting testimonials, when to get testimonials. There's really only three things that a testimonial has to say. What are they?
Where did you come from? Why? Kind of what were your pains? How has a spending plan been the solution? And then I always say, what's the benefit of working with a spending planner?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what I would have said. Kim, you look like you were about to have a response there.
She's all right. She's covered most of those. Just, you know, where they just, I guess really we want to hear the spending planner bit as well, because we do want them to engage our services. So somewhere in there, it would be great to have them blowing our horn as well as the software.
Kim was great. Sam was great. Sherry was great. Tricia was great. It's like you want them to name you. But the three things that I would have said was where you started, Sherry, where what was my life like before? And you definitely want what my life is like after. And the other one in the middle is, what was the trigger? What made you make the decision to do something about it? Because that can sometimes help somebody who's listening or reading go, you know what, that's about where I am, or I've had those same feelings or thoughts myself. And you kind of covered that anyway, but you've got to get the before and the after and the how they transitioned or why they transitioned in the middle. So,
yeah, David, Sam? You know, in my work with Mark Aston, I'm creating, because I want to interview him about his along our journey. I'm writing questions, and I've got all my questions here. And the very first question is, why did you sign up with Spending Made Easy? And then it's, was Sam pushy or salesy at all? The next question. So I've written what was the trigger next to it. So I'm going to ask him what his trigger was.
Yep, cool. Because I think that can be an important part of it, because people can identify with, that's, I understand why, and it's kind of why maybe I'm ready to do that too. So the when, the what, the how we're going to, because we've looked at how we're using testimonials, putting them on your Facebook, putting them on your website. Is there anything, and I don't have answers here, I'm basically saying, hey, let's put our heads together and talk about how can we make better use of testimonials than we already are, if there is a better way to do it?
I have one that I'm getting. Instagram Reels are really big at the moment. And so I have one and I have someone helping me. So my friend who didn't, a testimonial, new client recently, she did it and she kept it to 1 minute because she knew that that's what the reels are. They're only 1 minute.
Yep.
And so, so she sent it to me and now I have another friend that she recommended that can help me turn it into a, you know, a fun reel. So, yeah. So Instagram is, and I'm not even on Instagram much. I'm still even learning how to navigate the thing. But Instagram seems to be where a lot of people are going.
Mm-hmm. Kim, I think you're about to.
Yeah, I was just going to say to Sherry, that's good. I've got a video editing, a good program at the moment. And I was just thinking, yes, I've got those three videos there. I can just take out little snippets. They don't even need to be a minute long. And I can do, you know, one every few days. It's probably content to do a few weeks of bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say, I think Marlene's been dabbling in is Instagram things.
Reels.
You would know more about that than I would because you guys talk regularly.
Although she hasn't been talking about them lately. Actually, I haven't seen one from her.
She did a few, didn't she? Because I messaged her and said, you need to teach me how to do these. And she said, they're horrible. She did a course and it was all like, really, she's still not got them right. So I haven't, like you say, I haven't seen any recently. So I think she might have given it up.
Yeah, a bit of work goes into them, I think.
Mm. What was the editing program you have, Kim?
Please? I'm using Movavi. Movavi. So I can record in it and edit the same time.
Yep. That's the one that Carolyn, she probably put you onto it, did she, Kim?
Yeah, yes, she
did. Yeah, I had a look at that. It actually looks pretty good.
It is.
And it's cheap too. It was only like a one-time payment or is there a free?
Yeah, I think I paid $75 for a lifetime for the both recording and editing in the same program. If you choose one or the other, it was $40 or $45, something like that, but I've combined the two.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, while we're on that, Sherry, what do you use?
I use Camtasia.
Okay, yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Camtasia is dearer, so I
yes. Yes, it's a lot dearer.
Now I have a benefit. I have US clients and I have my US bank account over there. So anything that is US, I pay from that. So that's why I like my US clients because they pay for all my CRMs and all the things that are in US dollars.
Yep. Actually, talking about US clients, Sherry, I rang you up a few weeks ago asking about whether you've got any US clients with date issues because their date format is back to front, although that was designed to make you respond, but you didn't react at all. So you don't have any problems at all because we've got this lady who's on Central Time and all of her formattings, all of the, like the 4th of the 5th and the 5th of the 4th, and it's just all gone to muck. And so Nick has now spending a whole lot of time writing extra code because in the past, what we've done is we've basically relied on your browser knows where you are on the planet and what your time zone is, and it will present currencies and date formats and things according to that. But in this lady's case, it just seems to be totally ignoring what the browser settings are. And so Nick is writing a whole bunch of code at the moment to force, you'll basically pick a date format and it will force the date into that format. So just for this one lady, we've had to stop everything and work diligently on getting that sorted out. So
technical software questions that have come up just this week. So when you do your transactions due, is it not supposed to, in your account list, when you've done your transactions due, is it not supposed to update that date?
Yes, it is. So here's how it works. As it processes a transaction, it says, are there any other transactions in this account on this day? If there are, it will go to that one, and it'll check and see if there's another one until it's processed all of the ones on that day. And then it will go, okay, there's no more today. Are there any more before today's date? And if there are, it will jump and say, okay, we're doing that one next and that one next. And if it gets to one and it says, are there any more between that transaction and today? And the answer is no, it stops there and that becomes the start date of the account. Now, I have asked Nick to change it so that instead of doing that, it actually says, okay, we can make today's date the start date for the account. And that is a change that is on the way. He was, for the better part of this year, he's been drilling down on the virtual accounts, and it's become a minefield. At last conversation I had with him, it's slowing things down dramatically because there are so many calculations, because it basically has to work out a daily balance for every virtual item of every virtual account, and there's just so much calculations. He's looking for some different ways of doing things. But one of the good things about that is he has actually separated the... Normally, he'll start working on a particular thing, and then what will happen is somebody will come along and say, oh, there's a bug in something, and so he'll go to solve that bug. But he can't actually upload the bug because he's halfway through making changes to code on something that I've asked for as a new feature. And so the bug fix can't go live until the new feature goes live, because it all has to go live at once. And so it's always been like this choking point where until we've done everything that we're working on, we can't upload any of it. But because this date issue became really urgent, he's actually found a way where he can work on just one little piece at a time. And so he said to me just before, the due transactions, people have been asking for a long time, can I just go through and pick the ones that I want to process? That will happen very shortly, because he's now been able to identify, like just doing one piece of an update at a time. So hopefully, because I've been bugging him about that, so I want all of the start dates to be on the same day after you do a rollover. He said, well, yes, I can, if you process all of the transactions. But if someone goes in and just processes some of them but not all of them, you can't make the start date on the account after some of the transactions. You've basically got to say, well, I can't go past the last earliest transaction. So if you've got people who are manually processing them, you potentially have higgledy-piggledy start dates on your accounts anyway, which I hate. You know, the first thing I do when I just move all of the start dates up to the same day, so hopefully all of that made sense, but there will be changes coming through very shortly on that.
Is there movement on the loan interest or credit card?
That's another thing that was mixed in amongst all of the changes that he's been working on that may well now get pulled out and done in isolation. And for those people that don't know what Kim's talking about, with the loan accounts, we never ever put in, it's kind of a history thing. It was like, oh, look, we could do this. And people would think, oh, that's great. So we put loan accounts in there, but all of a sudden people came to rely on them. And the problem was that it always said, what's the start date? Okay, interest must be a month from today. And we never put in a field that says, what's the statement date or day of month? And so every time you process due transactions, the interest on the loan accounts is always a month. And it changes day of the month as you process your due transactions. So it's never correct.
It never adds it back on. And that's very confusing for clients. Why is my loan account saying one thing and my real account says this? Yes. Why am I out?
So very shortly there will be a field for loan accounts where it says what's the day of the month, you know, is it the 1st of the month or the 5th of the month or whatever, and it will lock that in just like it does on the credit card when you say what was the most recent payment date and what was the most recent statement date. It will use that day of the month to make it that's always the day that the interest is due on, so that it doesn't keep creeping along with time. What was your question, Sherry?
The second one was, if they're looking at their pie chart and there's uncategorized. So we looked through and everything was categorized. So what is coming up uncategorized?
Is it a, I know that it will group together anything less than a certain percentage.
It was for this one yesterday, it was like $3,400. That's a lot right. to be uncategorized. And she goes, what is that? Where's that money going to?
I can you send me the email address of that client so I can have a look? Because I'd be really interested to have a look. Sorry, Sam, you're muted. If you want to just email it through to me, Sherry.
Yeah, on the same subject, I've got, I had a client who I was talking to her about categories, and she asked, very rarely do they want to create one. Anyway, so she wanted to create a category for these health retreats that she does every year. And she spends like $6,000 a year on herself going to these health retreats. So we called the category health, and it never showed up in the pie chart at all or anywhere. But yeah, I've categorized it in the transactions and its outgoings and stuff. And
so health retreats is fairly long. It didn't just truncate it.
No, it wasn't health retreats. It was the name of the health retreat. But even when, because she started off with a blank spending plan, even when I put stuff in, the pie chart still just said accommodation and fuel. It didn't say anything else.
Well, send me, I need to look at these so I can actually see, because if there's an issue there.
Yeah, I sort of sent her home to do more populating of her thing. So I'm just going to see next time if it's not there, and then I might worry about it then.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Sherry, if you'll send me that one, I'll have a look, and just because if you set up a loan, I don't know what happens with the loan payments, whether they actually have a category. But anyway, I if you'll send an email through to Kathy, she'll send it to me. Tricia, I'm not ignoring you. Have you got any questions or? Yep. All right. Well, I'm not sure that we came up with any big aha moments with testimonials or not.
What were you after? What did you want?
I just wanted to, hey, here's a topic that we haven't talked about. Let's talk about how you get them, what you do with them, you know, what's the best time, the best place, the best way.
There wasn't a result you were after this. No.
I've been absolutely wrapped. You guys are just chatting and I'm just sitting here kind of going, I don't have to do much. I'll just direct the conversation a little bit now and then, and it's all good. So,
but some of the testimonials that you've got, these people have got lots of testimonials. Is that not
testimonial enough?
I'm confused.
So explain to me what you can.
I've got 26. I need to put 26 on my website. I didn't realize I have 26 Facebook ones. I'm going to get my website guy to put 26 on my bloody thing and take what you said about taking. I do that when I quote them in emails and stuff, but I need to start, like, it's good ideas. It's good for me to see everyone else's where you take a bit of. And sometimes when I quote them on Instagram or Facebook, I just take a bit out of what they've said or whatever. But no, I need to. I've only got three, I think, on mine. Like,
yeah, I noticed that you I was going to say to you, Sam, you must have truckloads more than what you've got on your website.
It is being updated because of the Google thing, and because, you know, I'm going for the new clients and the ones who have been going a long time, and I'm trying to keep up to date with Google because apparently that's the way to go, and Facebook, I'm trying to like get both going. So I think that I forget about my website and I think, oh, I've got all these Google reviews and Facebook reviews, but the website is still just the three of when it was originally set up. So I need to get my guy to put some on. I'm doing some new films as well. So.
Cool. All right. So it was worth doing because there's a something that's on your to-do list that will improve things.
Yeah.
Sherry?
That's a good question. If anyone uses the templates when they create a new client.
Yeah, I do.
So, because I tend to go in there and change them, and then when I create a new client, it still does the same thing. Because then every time I create, like, I'm going to have to enter in, you know, quite a few now. I have to go in and redo all the things.
So you've got to turn on the template that you want to use before you create the client. Otherwise, it won't do anything. Let me just
I don't turn anything on when I sign up a new client.
Hang on.
A and yet they've all got the same template when I go in their new account. I must have set it to be always this, because I just put in rent/mortgage, gas, electric, telephone, internet. And when I sit with them, when we're at day dot, I go, right, any of these, you know the figures, what, you know, and they go, oh yeah, my rent's this, my gas is this, da da. And then we put, and they say, right, now we can add more or delete stuff. People don't pay for, you know, they don't have a whatever, just delete stuff. I've got a credit card, delete that, and make it all streamlined. But every single client that sign up with me start off with 5 or 6 transactions, but I certainly don't choose it. They're just there on a new account.
So have you empty client transactions, Sherry?
Pardon?
Have you got no transactions in when you start a new
job? Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, personally, I would like them to kind of be named, the actual accounts to be named how we do it. But also I have people who use, once they do their spending plan, they create their business one. So then, like, you know, this morning I had to go in and go and have them delete all the expenses that are to do with personal. So are you saying that there is a way to create a second?
See, I'm screen. Can you see my screen?
Yeah.
So when you create a template, you tick this box to say include this template when creating a new client. And if you've got different templates before you create a client, you'd need to go in and untick the ones you don't want and tick the ones you do want.
Okay. Rightio. Okay. Right. But so you can't change the name of that account that you have in there already. Like you have primary bank account. You can't.
That's because they're the only accounts I've actually got in this particular spending plan. I think. I'm not 100% sure. That's actually a question I would need to spend some time with.
That's when I create a new account. Those are the ones that come up, but there's no big, well, like for me, I have a big bad wolf. There's no long-term savings. So I have to manually just go in and add them in. And like I said, when I'm, especially the next day when I'm going to be adding in lots of them, it's just very time-consuming to kind of get it. But anyway.
Okay.
But at least I know to unclick it before I create the account.
But if you're going to send me the email address of that client,
yeah, I did.
Can you just pop
I sent
a reminder?
Kathy.
Oh, okay. So can you send another email?
Yep.
Just ask David to check up on the template issue that we discussed.
Can I just say, I've just looked at my spending plan on my monitor here. And I've just got one template set up and I've called it the new client setup bills account. And when I go into the transactions, I've got electric, gas, internet, loan repayments, rego for your car, rent/mortgage and telephone. So there's 7 transactions. And if I go into the edit, it's ticked, include this template when creating a new client. So are you saying Sherry should just create one for her event transactions or whatever, and then she can create a template for those accounts.
Yeah, you can have 10 different templates, but you've got to pick which ones you're going to actually use when you create a client before you create the client.
Yeah, otherwise it'll just pick whatever was the last, because you can only have one ticked.
And if you haven't got any of them ticked, it'll just...
I've only got one and it's ticked. So all my clients, that's why all my clients are... You made me wonder then what I was doing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So can I ask...
You can.
Is there a video on that, David?
This is it. This is your video.
This is it.
Yeah, watch the recording back.
I know I have done something in training on it, but I couldn't say where it was. It's probably in the resources center, but that's a good question. It was a long time ago.
It might have been an email, David, when you did these, when you first set this up. You might have given us a step-by-step email.
Not sure. It was a long time ago.
I'm happy to help you if you need stuff. Just split me a message and I'll sit with you for an hour or so and go through a few things if you want.
Thank you. That'd be great. Yep. I know I've seen the template there, but I didn't know how you used it, what the benefit was. Yeah. So, yeah.
I only know this software because I have played with it and played with it and played with it and played with it. And I feel like I know it inside out, back to front, the wrong way around. It's epic. I love it. But there's a lot of stuff that I don't use on it. And but templates is one of them.
No, I have a plan. We'll see how we go. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
I haven't been there for so long that I'm only going, well, this is how it's supposed to work, but I actually haven't done it myself for so long that I have to check it out myself. All right. I haven't been performing at 100% for quite some time because 375 days ago we moved out of our last house. We thought we would probably be, you know, 4 or 5 months and we'd be in a new house. Tomorrow we're moving into the new house. It's a year and a week since we moved out. So.
Yay.
And then I'll have my recording studio. I'll have all of the stuff that I've been kind of without for ages. I'll be able to get back into doing stuff that I used to do that I haven't been able to do for ages. So I'll have to really catch up, I think, making some training videos on how to use template accounts and stuff. So templates, yes. All right. Anybody got any other things they want to throw at me before we go? Oh, that's enough. Sam?
I want to know what the plan is for the, because I think you know that one of my clients has an issue, Sue, with her account. And it all got very weird because she is a fantastic client. She loves the software, loves everything about it. And I, every now and then I catch up with her. And I knew that she was having issues with processing her actuals, which I know you don't agree, you know, you're not on board with, but she is. And as you know, I am. So, and she uses it to pay her bills. So she literally sits there and goes, oh, right now I need to pay this. And she watches the accounts change their amounts and it change, and then she moves on to the next one. And she's done it like that for a couple of years. And then there was problems with it refreshing and it wasn't going right. And then the balances weren't correct. She said she rang the hotline and
I spoke to her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, she rang the hotline and didn't get an answer for 3 days. And then I had coffee with her and she said to me, oh, I've rang the hotline and nobody answered. Nobody's responded. Yep. And then because I was sat with her, I messaged Nick and said, you know, do you know about this issue? And he said, no, we did a little video. And then Nick spoke to her. And in the meantime, I think you returned her call on the thing. And I didn't know how it's supposed to run or if a client's supposed to wait. I mean, I'm not being critical, but I want to know, because if we go gangbusters, we got hundreds of clients, we can't afford for clients to wait 3 days.
Exactly. I can tell you what happened on the Wednesday, which she rang on the Thursday. On the Wednesday, I was where a new house is, building a fence, getting ready to move in. And I got a phone call from my brother-in-law, who we've been living with him for the last year, saying, get in the car, get here quickly. There's something wrong with my sister, with your wife. So I dropped everything, jumped in the car and took off. And then I phoned him and said, what's going on? And he said, just go straight to the hospital. So I went to the hospital and I was there till about, I think my wife had this, the doctor called it a thunderclap headache. She was in absolute screaming agony with this headache that was like her head was bursting. Anyway, they filled her full of drugs. She came good. And we got home about 11 o'clock at night. I had left my phone in an ice cream container under the desk in my new office in Gympie where we'll be living. And I couldn't find my phone for 4 days. I looked high and low for it. And it was only when I found it that I saw I had missed calls. And so I then had to apologize to people and call them back. So that was a little bit of an extreme situation. But still, no matter what the reason is, it's not good enough. So I really need to get myself a phone which has 2 SIM cards so I can just have one phone and not have to carry 2 phones and lose one. So mind you, then I could lose one phone and then I'd be in big trouble. So but yes, I looked high and low for it for 3 days before it turned up. So
yeah, but wait, you're only one man. Like are you the software support line though?
Yes. And you know how often I get software support calls?
Hardly ever, or maybe
one a month, if that. So it's so easy to kind of just go, that phone never rings. So, but it's, yeah. So it's very rare.
If you go gangbusters, it'll ring.
Yep. And you know what?
It doesn't ring because it'll all work smoothly.
I love taking support calls because I am in my element. This is like I'll talk to someone for half an hour, 2 hours, whatever. That's what I love more than anything else. Sherry,
Rachel and I, we were talking in the group yesterday in the course, and she, you know, she's an old Simply Budgets, and I was telling them the history that, you know, 20 years ago we bought a CD, and yeah. and there was a little video in it, but you still had questions, and so we would call David. And she goes, yeah, I was always calling David. And I said, yes. And I was always calling David. I said, he was in. Then he decided, hey, I need to get some spending planners to help with all this. So, yeah. You were, you know, very generous with your time, considering we only paid like $129 for that CD.
I just love doing it. I just love doing it. And, you know, the first people that actually got copies of Simply Budgets got 8-inch-and-a-quarter floppy disks. You know, those one, the little, the small ones, and it took 8 of them to do a full install. And now it's kind of like, oh, we just downloaded, or no, it's just online. It's all changed. But yeah, they were the good old days, weren't they?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Sam, I apologize profusely, but that phone rarely rings, but I knew it was missing and I was looking high and low for it. But I didn't expect there to be missed calls because it just never rings. But
yeah, I think I understand that issues happen, and I know that we are limited resources and everything, but I'm just grateful that was a nice client that was there. You know, she's the one, I don't know if you know, she's the one that had her personal account, and then she loved it so much she paid another $10 a month to do her business account. And then when she realized she was doing two at once and she had to go out of one and in another, that they didn't link. And I told her they wouldn't link, but she still thought she'd manage them. And then she thought, you know, I can put it all on one. So she stopped the other one. She is absolutely, and I've got a film testimonial of her that is actually being edited as we write, because she was crying every day at 3 a.m. That was her standard thing. 3 a.m. she would cry every day about her finances. And now she doesn't. And I've got a story about around that, which is being edited. And she is such a great lady. And then she just goes, this morning she sent me a message going, you do know that I'm paying my bills right now, and you do know the spending plan isn't correct yet. And she said to me as well, it's been going on 12 months. And I said, why haven't you bloody told me? And she goes, because I don't want to bother you with you. And she's so nice. But if she hadn't have been so nice, we could have ended up with a bad thing, and she could have written a bad testimonial about my business. And, you know, so it's just lucky she's nice.
That fix has probably been done, but it's waiting to go live with all the other stuff. But now Nick has worked out a way of doing one little piece at a time. I'll actually bring that back to his attention and say, is that something that we can do straight away rather than having to do the whole thing?
Yeah.
Because it was... Sorry?
What was her issue?
Her issue apparently is uniquely for her account. And apparently Nick told me, because I've spoken to Nick about this as well, she has a very complicated and complex account. Apparently she has lots of transfers and lots of things going on. And when she processes her transactions, so she goes to transactions due, and one of her things that she loves about the spending plan is they prompt her to pay her bills. So every week she sits there and she goes to transactions due and she goes, right, I need to pay my rates, I need to pay my gas, I need to pay my electric, I need to pay my water, and da 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 da. And she sits and pays more, and she loves it that her bank balance says what it says on the spending plan, which is exactly how I do it. So I'm completely on board with her. But she said, like, it said it processed a transaction, and then it thought it did, and then she pressed refresh on the bottom on the thing, there's a refresh, and the refresh said it was refreshing, and then it didn't, and then the balance was incorrect, and it, she didn't know whether it had done it or not, and it seemed to be taking its time. And I said, mine just flicked through and they're updated, and I think I've got I don't think it's complicated, but I've got, you know, a lot of stuff going on in my account. I've got transfers, I've got the credit card, I've got everything going on, I think she said to me this morning, David, that you suggested it might have been her laptop. And she goes, we did it on Sam's laptop and it still did the same. But but she's a delight to deal with, and she's really come good with her. She's another success story. But yeah, and we don't know why. And Nick said he doesn't know why, it's just her account. I don't know if it's because it's complex, but it should be
the actual error is that she'll process the transaction, but it actually doesn't go away. Is that what the problem was?
Well, I think so, but it sort of implied that it had gone away, kind of thing, because it goes, oh, and it said, you know where the pop-up box is at the top and then it goes away. It implied it, but it was still there because we did it. She showed me a demonstration. There was like 100 bucks to pay on something. And she was like, well, 100 bucks is an easy amount. So we did 100 bucks and it went, yep, process the transaction, you know, markers complete or whatever. Saved. Process. And it said, saved, and it was still there. And then you'd refresh it and it'd go, and yeah, so.
I had a client, I don't know if it's anything to do with this, I had a client that Nick had to help me with. There was a transaction that wasn't fully, didn't have everything in it. I don't know if it had zero on it or there wasn't a date or something like that. And that transaction was causing problems, something like that.
Yeah, Nick said to me, because I spoke to him about it, he said there might be a rogue transaction in there and or a ghost transaction or a something transaction. Or a phantom one or something. And anyway, so he's looked at it in great detail, I think. But and she's lovely because she said to me, she goes, oh, if they think my spending plan's complicated, she goes, maybe you and I need to have a coffee and you sit with me and go through it, all of it, all of my transactions, everything. I'll show you what I do and you tell me if there's a better way for doing it. So I'll do that with her. Yeah, so she's lovely. But I just wanted to know the exact system because... you know, like we're just lucky she was nice and she's nice. So,
Sam, just text me that client's name after the call.
I'll see you, Sherry.
Okay, thank you very much.
No worries.
Bye. All right.
Well, I'll stop the recorder there and.